So I want to tell you and really spell it out for you why we do what we do. And so tonight, what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to turn it over to some students tonight. Some students are actually going to read some scripture tonight, so that doesn't weary y'all. But I want them to do that. So basically, tonight, what we're going to do is talk about why we open up the Word of God on a daily basis. Why we open up the Word of God on a daily basis. In fact, in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, right after Jesus comes and lives and dies, and after he raises from the dead, Jesus actually ascends into heaven, okay? And we've talked about some weird stuff already. Let me tell you something even weirder, okay? Jesus, he dies, he goes to the cross, he dies. He goes to a grave. 3 days later, he kicks the tomb out, walks out. And then after he's talked to a bunch of people, after he's resurrected, he talks to a bunch of people, has conversations with people, and then all of a sudden, Jesus kind of floats. Right? He just kind of floats into heaven. Totally weird, right? And so as he's floating into heaven, we call it ascending. That's the biblical term, not floating or fluttering or whatever. He ascends into heaven. And as he's ascending into heaven, all the disciples are on the ground going, huh, that's cool. That's awesome. And so they're just watching Jesus kind of flutter into the air. And as Jesus flutters into the air, some of you are going to like tweet that later and be like, Jesus fluttered. After he flutters into the air, there's some angels who are right alongside Jesus, or right alongside the disciples on the ground. And they're like, why do you keep looking up? Why is it that you keep looking up? He's going to come back the same way that he went, but I want you to know this. He's called you. He's asked you to do something, and what you need to do is you need to go and you need to make disciples. And so Acts chapter 2, right after that happens, is the blueprint of the very first church. Right after Jesus flutters into heaven or ascends into heaven, right after that takes place, they go out and they begin planting and launching church after church after church. And so what I want to do over the course of the next couple weeks is I want to look specifically at Acts chapter 2. And I want to just kind of lay it right here and go, are we doing, is Forward Youth Church, is the church that we walk into every single Wednesday night, are we doing what they were doing? If we could just place what we're doing right on top of the Acts chapter 2 church, would it look identical? Would it look the same? And so that's what we're going to do tonight. So Acts chapter 2 is where we're going to be tonight. And I've got Sam Kerrigan. Come on up, Sam. Woo! Sam Kerrigan. Is going to read some scripture for you tonight from Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42 through 47. And we've actually got it on the screens for you as well. Sam, don't stutter, okay?
All right. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all of the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Thank you, Sam. Okay, so from that piece of scripture, and I hope you were paying attention and not just staring at Sam going, man, is that guy single? Are you, Sam? The girls want to know, man. He's high-fiving. He didn't even listen. It's all right. But from that piece of scripture, there are three primary things that we're going to do it forward every single week. From this piece of scripture right here, and the first one we're going to talk about just comes in this very first piece of scripture. It says this, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, okay? So every single week that we get together, every single week we get together, we're going to open up the Word of God. Every single week. Now, the reason that we're going to do this, the reason that we're opening up the Word of God is because we want you to know that there's good news. In fact, the gospel, if you break down the word gospel, and gospel is basically the message or the story of Jesus, if you break that down, that actually means good news. And so we want you to know, and we want your friends to know, if you invite a friend here who doesn't know anything about the Bible, doesn't know anything about Jesus, maybe you invite a friend here that does know something about the Bible, we want to proclaim the good news of Jesus every single week. And so we're going to open up the Word of God, and we're going to show your friend, we're going to show you why the Word of God is good news. And in order to understand that it's good news, you got to understand there's bad news. See, because you can't have good news without bad news. The bad news is this. The bad news is that you and I, we are separated from God. Because of our sin, because of the fact that we've got sin inside of us, because of the fact that we're liars, because of the fact that we're cheaters, because of the fact that we have pride inside of us, because of the fact that we've got all of this sin inside of us, the Bible actually tells us that we're separated from God. That's the bad news. The good news If you know anything about the gospel, the good news is that God saw that we were separated from him, and God wanted very desperately to have a relationship with us. And so God sent his son, his perfect and blameless and sinless son, to this earth to live and to die on a cross for your sins and my sins. I don't know about you, but I think that's pretty good news. And so that is the good news. That's the reason we're going to open up the Word of God every single day. That's the reason that someone's going to stand on a stage like this or stand out on a bonfire. Or maybe it's not even a night where we're in here. Maybe it's a night where we're outside playing games. But I want you to know this. Every single week, whether you come here for a fun night, whether you come here for a connect night, whether you come here for a night in which we're going to come in here and do the normal thing in here, I want you to know this. We're going to open the Word of God because the Word of God has power. And the Word of God does so many things. And tonight I want to show you four things that the Word of God does. But before we get there, I want to have another student come up and read from Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 37, Brittany Ontiveros. This one's got some words that I'm thinking she might actually stutter over. So I'm going to help her. Teha is the, okay? Teha. Hey, look at this. We went to Mexico. Can you tell? Twinning. Do you need a microphone or you want to yell? I did not twin the pants or the shoes. Sorry. Or the hair. Or the hair. Do you need me to hold?
Hold it for me. Is it on? Can you hear me?
It's on. Ezekiel 37. Scripture will be on the wall as well. But Ezekiel 37, 1 through 10.
Okay, here I go.
Here you go.
Okay. The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones become living people again?" "O sovereign Lord," I replied, "you alone know the answer to that." Then he said to me, "Speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, 'Dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I spoke this message, just as he told me. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. Then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath, from the four winds. Breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again.' So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army."
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So from Ezekiel 37, and I want to kind of paint this picture for you in case you didn't quite see it. You've got Ezekiel, and he gets led into this valley. And as he goes into this valley, it's actually a valley of dry bones. It's just literally just bones laying there. And I don't know about you, but I have to like ask the question, did like a volcano happen here? Did like a rabid animal show up? What happened here that just has all these bones here? And we're talking like a lot of bones. And the word of God begins to speak over Ezekiel, and he begins to say, proclaim the word of God. If you would proclaim the word of God, and as he's proclaiming the word of God, all of a sudden, these bones, they just start rising up, right? And so you've got like this patella, right? This patella just kind of stands up, right? And then this other bone kind of attaches to it. What bone attaches to the patella? Femur? I don't know. You guys should know this, right? And then all of a sudden, like, what are these? What are the fingers? Well, I know, but what are they called? Phalanges. And then you've got like the kneecap bone just like starts right. And so all these things start coming together. And as he continues to preach the word of God, as he continues to prophesy over them, and prophesy means preach the word of God. As he continues to preach, all of a sudden these bones, they become like full life skeletons. Okay, and so they're, right? They're skeletons. Like, I wanted to have a skeleton here and, like, name it Fred and, you know, and, like, show you guys what a skeleton looks like. But you know, right? You know what a skeleton looks like. And so I could bring Nico up here. He's pretty close. I love you, Nico. As I started thinking through this, and then as he continues to preach over, then all of a sudden the ligaments start coming. And then skin starts coming, and all of a sudden these dry bones have now become like a full-fledged, the Bible calls them, an army. Did you see that happen? All because Ezekiel was preaching the word of God over these dry bones. And you're going, is that what this guy wants us to do tonight? Go home, find a, here's a dinosaur bone, word of God. No. But I want to show you four things from the Bible, okay? I want to show you four things that the word of God does based on this scripture. First thing is this. The word of God creates life. The word of God creates life. See, as I read this story, there's this valley of dry bones. And isn't this an echo of what your school is? Isn't this an echo of some of your families that you come from? A lot of your school, some of the families that you come from, they're dead spiritually. They might be walking around, but they're dead spiritually. They don't know who Jesus is. And that, like we talked about, the bad news is that they're separated from God. So the word of God creates life. Only one thing brought these bones to life. That was the word of God. So why is that important? That's important because every single one of us at some point were these dry bones. Every single one of us. There's not a person here tonight that can say, I was never a dry bone. The moment that I came out of the womb, I knew Jesus. No, you didn't. Every single one of us can find ourselves in this story. And it all started with the word of God. See, the word of God brings life. That's why every single week we're going to open it up. That's why every single week we're going to encourage you not only that we open it up here, but that you take it home and open it up at home. So if you're here tonight and you're going, hey, I'd love to open up the word of God at home, but number one, I don't understand it. Talk to me. I got ways you can understand it, okay? I'll beat you over the head with it and you'll understand. I'm kidding. Kidding. No, but there's ways I can help you with that. Maybe you're here tonight and you're going, you know what? I'd love to get in the word of God, but I don't have a Bible. We have Bibles. And we want to get them in your hands. And so if that's you tonight, you're here tonight, and you're going, I don't have a Bible, we want to get you a Bible. I'd love to go to Nathan, my senior pastor. I'd love to go to him and say, we ran out of Bibles last night. We need more. I'd love to do that. So if that's you, I want to get a Bible in your hand. Because the word of God creates life. And number two, the word of God creates growth. The word of God creates growth. I want to give you a biblical concept. Growing things change. Growing things change. See, you can't read the word of God and stay the same. It's impossible. It's impossible to read and understand the word of God and continue living your life the way that you're living. Whether you are a devout Christian or not, you are going to change in the way that you read the word of God. If you read the word of God, you're going to change. Growing things change. They do. They change over time. See, now, I want to say this. Before you get bogged down with quizzes, before you get bogged down with trig and before you get bogged down with, you know, algebra and all these other things, I want you to hear this, okay? I want you to hear this. There is nothing more important this year for you to study than the Word of God. Okay? Some of the parents in the room might be going, oh, my son needs to study trig. He's horrible at it. Eternally, there is nothing more important this year for you to study than the Word of God. Nothing. And so don't go home now and say, Mom, I don't have to do my homework because my pastor told me to read the Bible. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying this. I want you to hear this. There is nothing more important for you to study this year than the Word of God because the Word of God brings change. The Word of God brings growth. You want to grow this year? You want to be different this year? You want to be changed this year? Get in the Word of God. And that's why we're going to open it in here every single week. Number three, God's word creates unity. See, from this scripture, you see that these bones are no longer bones. They begin to form. And as they begin to form, they begin to assemble. And so there's a formation that takes place. As these bones begin to come together, there's a formation, and they all come together. It's not just one person, not just one skeleton. Now it's an army, as the Bible calls it. It's an army of skeletons together. And that's kind of freaky. I understand that, but you get the point. See, the Word of God creates unity in that same way. If we preach the Word of God, it's going to create unity in this room. See, what I love about the church, what I love about the church globally, and I'm not just talking about this church right here, Valley Real Life, I'm talking about the church globally. What I love about the church is that the church is the same place where you can find a really, really, really smart, educated person who like pushes their glasses up like this, right? And does this, right? Sitting next to, smart people do that. I've watched them. I'm not one. Sitting next to someone who dropped out of high school. It's one of the only places you can find that in Red Robin, right? But that's it. Like, you can't find that in a lot of places. It's one of the only places where you can find someone who is extremely financially stable, someone who's wealthy, sitting next to someone who is on the verge of being homeless or possibly even homeless. It's one of the only places you can find that. That's what I love about the picture of the church. The church creates unity. What creates unity is that bond of the good news of Jesus Christ. Because here's the thing. The smart person with their glasses pushed all the way up, in God's eyes, is the exact same person as the person who dropped out of high school. And that person who's extremely wealthy, that doesn't impress God. They're in the same boat when it comes to the good news of gospel. The gospel came for all of them, and it creates unity among them. See, something that I hate about the church, can I talk to you about that for a moment? Something I hate about the church is, and I'm not talking about Valley Real Life, I'm not talking about Forward Youth Church, I'm not talking about any church here. I'm just talking globally. Something I hate about the church is that the church is oftentimes known for things that we're against. We are. You talk to a non-church friend, say, hey, what do you think of the church? They're going to probably tell you, oh, you guys are against drinking, you're against smoking, you're against abortion, you're against, and they're going to tell you all the things that we're against, right? The thing that I wish we were known for, I wish we were known for the things that we're for. Not the things that we're against, the things that we're for. And I'll tell you what we're for here at Forward Youth Church, and I can't speak for all churches globally, but I can speak for what we're here for now. We're here for you to get closer to Jesus today than you were yesterday. That's it. That's why we're here. That's why we exist. That's why we get in the Word of God on a weekly basis, because we believe the Word of God creates life, and we believe it creates growth, and we believe it creates unity, and we want you to be unified. That's why we send you to connect groups where you can be with people who are your age and your gender, so you can look across the room and go, you know what? I want to get to know you. I want to connect with you. I want to see you in the hallways at Green Acres or Evergreen or West or East or CV or U-High, and I missed a few, I'm sorry. But I want to see you in the hallways, and I want to be able to know that we're unified in this. That's why we do United every so often. So you can see people from your school that maybe you didn't know was a Christian, and you can be unified with them and go, hey, I see you here, and I want to be unified with you. And how can we come together and take on our school? Which leads me to the fourth thing. The fourth thing the Word of God does. The fourth thing the Word of God does is it creates an army. The Word of God creates an army. See, it does all this other stuff. It brings life. And it brings change, and it brings growth, and it brings unity. But the Word of God, as you see in the scripture, it creates an army. It puts you and I in position, not just to stand there, but to be used. See, God wants to use you. Whether you believe it, whether you understand it, whether you comprehend it, whether you would agree with that or not, God wants to use you. And he wants to use you in your school. He wants to use you at your lunch table. He wants to use you in your home. He wants to use you in your neighborhood. He wants to use you, and he's put you in place in order to be used. In fact, in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, Paul's writing to the Roman church, and he's saying, you know, if people were just given the chance to hear about the good news of Jesus, check out what Paul says in Romans 10, verse 14. He says, how then will they call on him who they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him who they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Paul's saying, guess what? Your friends aren't going to hear about Jesus if you keep your mouth shut. Your family's not going to understand your relationship with Jesus if you keep your mouth shut. Your friends aren't going to get that if you just sit back and wait for someone else to do it. Paul's saying, you have been commissioned. I have been commissioned. It's the same thing those angels were saying to that group of people who were watching Jesus flutter into heaven. They were saying, what are you still doing standing here? He told you to go. Now go and make disciples. That's the reason we're going to open up the Word of God, because we want to create an army in here. We want to create an army for you to go out into your school, to go out into your neighborhood, to go out into your lunchroom, to go out into that group of friends that you've got and say, you know what? Jesus has changed me. I'm not any better than you. I've just found something that you don't have, and I want to share that with you. So our hope every single week, every single time we come in here, every single time we go outside and do a bonfire worship, or every single time we have a connect night, whatever it might be, we're going to open up the Word of God. Because the Word of God creates life. And the Word of God creates growth. And the Word of God creates unity. And the Word of God creates an army. Now here in just a second, the band's going to come back up. And we're going to do something just a little bit different, something that maybe some of you are uncomfortable with. In fact, when I was your age, I was really uncomfortable with this. This wasn't something that I would necessarily have wanted to participate in. But over time, I'm finding just how realistic and how good this time is. And so I'm going to ask everyone just to bow your head and shut your eyes. Okay? Just stay with me. I know for some of you, that's like, it's out of your comfort zone. Now, I'm going to ask two questions tonight. It's kind of a twofold question. First question is this. Has there ever been a time in your life, where God's word was preached over you and God created life in you? What that means is, has there ever been a time where you've recognized that you're a dry bone? That you've recognized that you are far from God, that you are separated from his grace, separated from him, separated from his love, separated from him so much so that you know that you needed a savior? Has there ever been a time in your life where you have said, you know what, I'm a dry bone and I don't want to be a dry bone any longer. I want to come to life. If you would honestly say, you know what, that's never happened in my life, I've got good news and I've got bad news for you. The good news is that God wants to have a relationship with you. That's why he sent his son to this earth to live and to die for you. He did that for you. The bad news is that if you don't accept that, you're still a dry bone. Spiritually, you're dead. So tonight, if that's you, and you don't want to be that anymore, and I want you to hear this, okay? Because this is so crucial. I'm not trying to scare the hell out of you, okay? That's not my goal tonight. My goal instead is for you to realize the love that Jesus has for you. And he doesn't want you to be separated from his heavenly Father any longer. And so tonight, if you can say, you know what, I've never experienced that. I've never crossed over from spiritually dead to alive. I've never made that commitment in my life. I want to talk to you tonight. Or your connect leader wants to talk to you tonight about what that looks like or how you can cross over from death to life spiritually. I don't want you to be a dry bone any longer because the word of God creates life. The gospel, the good news of Jesus, it creates life. And we want you to have eternal life. I said it was twofold. So the second question is this. Maybe you're here tonight and you're a Christian. Meaning you know there was a time in your life where you crossed over from spiritually dead to alive. Here's what I want you to ask yourself tonight. As you've got your eyes closed, as you've got your head bowed, as you're just kind of reflecting on the fact that the Word of God creates life, and the Word of God creates growth, and the Word of God creates unity, and the Word of God creates an army, I want you to ask yourself, where are you on the spectrum? Because you're all in the story. Have you crossed over from death to life? And are you now kind of going, you know what? I'm growing. I'm a baby Christian and I'm growing and I'm growing and I'm growing and I'm growing. If that's you, that's great. That's great. And maybe you're here tonight and you're going, you know what? I feel like I'm in a good spot in my growth and I just need to be unified with some other Christians. I need to be unified with some other students, some other leaders, some other people that I can come alongside and be unified. And we can understand that we have an opportunity to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus every single week, every single day, every single hour. And maybe you're here tonight and you're going, you know what? I'm good in those areas. I'm unified. I'm growing daily. In fact, I won the day today. But I'm ready for an army. I'm ready to create an army. If that's you, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. And don't take this lightly. Okay, this is an autopilot response to hear this question, automatically do it. No, I want you to think about this. Think about the ramifications of what this is going to do. If you're ready to be an army in your school, in your family, among your friends, in your neighborhood, here's what I'm asking you to do. If you're ready to become an army, I want you to stand up right where you're at. Those of you standing, look around. Just like that in Ezekiel, you don't stand alone. Some of you, you might walk through your halls at school and go, I'm alone. I'm absolutely alone. Look around. You're not alone. And with this army, we're going to storm the gates of hell together. Now, something that we do here at Valley Real Life, and you guys can go ahead and have a seat. Something we do here at Valley Real Life a lot of times when we respond is we respond through worship. And so tonight, some of you, you might need to talk to somebody, talk to a friend, talk to somebody you trust, talk to me. I want you to know that we're here. We want to talk to you. In the same way, we're going to respond through worship tonight. We're going to sing some songs. And for some of you, singing songs is disconnecting for you. And so maybe it's right where you need to sit, is just sit there and reflect on what the Word of God can do in your life or where you're at. Maybe for some of you, you know, you stood up and you want to be a part of that army. Here at Valley Real Life, we do something really awesome, and I love it. And that's that we make our way over to the baptistry right here, and I believe there's still Sharpies over there from Sunday. But if there's some friends that you've got that don't know Jesus, that you want to not necessarily target this year, but that you want to commit to praying for, I encourage you to go over and write their names on the baptistry. You know how cool it is to have a name on the baptistry right there, and then we dunk somebody, and we paint over it. We don't, like, leave their name so they can come and go, you were praying for me. No, but we paint over that. And then how cool it is when we actually baptize somebody and go, you know what? Your name is underneath this paint right here. I've been praying for you for 6 months. I've been praying for you for a year. I've been praying for you for 5 years. I've been praying for this moment right here. How awesome is that? So for those of you that said, you know what? I want to create an army. I want to be in that army. I want to encourage you to find someone else who stood up tonight and say, hey, I'm with you in this. I want to be with you in this. We're going to open up the Word of God every single week because we believe the Word of God creates life, creates growth, creates unity, creates an army. I love the Word of God, and I hope you do as well. Would you stand with me? Father God, I thank you. I thank you for this opportunity that we have to respond now, to respond to the good news, the gospel, to respond to the message of Jesus. And so, Father, tonight, my hope, my goal, my desire, my prayer for these students is that they would realize and recognize that your word is incredible. Your word is life-changing. And only your word, only the truth behind your word can truly save us. God, we love you and we thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.